This is More Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio. And once again, we have our support from air traffic controllers in this session. I'm Paul Prydecker.
I'm Mike Morgan, and we're talking in this segment with Rachel Gilmore from Indianapolis Center and with Ray Castlewhite from Tri-Cities Tower. Ray and Rachel, thank you. Rachel, I know that I've spoken to you already once this week, but we're going to switch topics today. How do I become, not me personally, I'm too old, an air traffic controller?
Hi, well, thanks for having us back again. So the first step is to apply on USA Jobs. There are a couple of different ways to become an air traffic controller. You can have military experience and be hired. They do off-the-street bids, that's the term for them, where anyone can apply. Or you can go to a school, a university, with a program, Collegiate Training Initiative Program, and get some instruction on air traffic control there as well. Once you apply on USA Jobs, there are then some steps. Once you're accepted, there's an aptitude exam. If you pass that, then there's fingerprinting, medical qualifications, security check as well. And then if you get through all of that, then you would go to the FAA Academy.
Yeah. And once you go to the FAA Academy, you get assigned a track, either a terminal track or a center track, and that kind of dictates the duration of your training at the Academy, either about 3 months or about 4 months.
Do you get assigned or can you pick?
You get assigned, I believe, still. Okay. I was assigned, which I got the terminal track, which I was happy about at the time. Yeah. Definitely more options on the terminal side than the center side. And then when you finish class, you finish the Academy, pass the Academy, you get a list of facilities that are in need of controllers at that time. And it's best in class gets to pick first, and you kind of work your way down the list. And you're not there potentially forever, whatever facility you get assigned, but that's kind of how you get or how you choose what place you're going to begin working once you leave the Academy in Oklahoma City.
So once you spend some time at your assignment, you kind of get past a certain amount of time, and then you're more likely to be able to pick anything else or something else up.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I went to the facility I got at Tri-Cities East Tennessee. When I first got there, I was like, I'm just going to stay 2 years and go to somewhere bigger and you know, make more money and live in a big city. And the more I stayed there, the more I like living there. So I'm not going anywhere. So not everybody leaves just to go to a bigger facility to work. But yeah, that's the general path once you're in.
Hey, you mentioned something about being selected for either center or tower, and you said there were more opportunities with tower than center. Why is that?
Because there's only, how many centers are there, Rachel?
21
centers, and then the rest of the FAA facilities are the terminal route, so that'd be tower or radar or tower radar combination, which is what I have. So there's just geographically there's just more locations to choose from.
Does the process change if based on whether you end up as an FAA employee or as an FAA contractor?
Well, I can only speak to my job as an FAA controller. The federal contract towers have a different hiring process within their companies.
So they don't go through the same process that you've been talking about so far, is that right?
No. There are 313 FAA facilities, and that's our specialty.
Sure.
Okay, got it.
Put the brackets on this. How young do I have to be, or when do I have to get out?
So you can get in pretty young. Like we have one coming to our facility on Monday, who I believe is 20. So very young. The latest you can get in is at the age of 31. Okay. You're eligible to retire when you're 50, and you're forced out when you're 56. So that's your mandatory retirement age is 56.
We're speaking with Rachel Gilmore from Indianapolis and Ray Castlewhite from the Tri-Cities Tower facility. Rachel, what's the day in the life of a controller in terms of duty time and things like that? Does it vary by facility, or what's my day going to be like?
So, yeah, there is a bit of variance, but all controllers are going to come to work and get a weather briefing. There are sometimes other briefings with equipment changes or procedures or something going on at the facility, even in the building, like parking lot closure. So we all come to work and get some sort of briefing about what's going on. And then, of course, that weather briefing that will tell us what weather is happening, what pyre-ups we need to get. And then we plug in, we rotate through the positions, kind of whoever's up for break next gets a break. We are on, typically at my facility, from anywhere from an hour to an hour and 45 minutes on position. And then we'll take a break and come back and just keep rotating through at each position.
Is it a 10-hour, 8-hour day, or...
What? Typically 8, but sometimes 10. There is quite a bit of overtime out there, so we do sometimes stay for 10 hours, but we max out at 10 hours of duty time. You can't work any longer than that.
Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, have you noticed that people tend to like to stay in the same role or same position or same shift, or do people tend to want to move around to keep things more interesting, to keep themselves sort of on the edge of learning new things?
Well, so my facility, there are 7 areas, and we get certified in that one area, and each area has from 5 to 7 positions, and so those are the 7 that you are certified to work on, and you'll rotate through the day. I think people do like to kind of change it up throughout the day, and, you know, maybe not get, we joke around about getting stuck on one position. And then there's training. There's so much training going on. So a trainer and a trainee will be working together for the whole shift, and they'll only work the positions that they're training on. So then they'll be locked in there as well.
Ray, I'm interested. What got you started? What's appealing to you about this?
Flight school is what started my path, and I'm a CFI, still flight instructor part-time.
Oh, okay.
At the time in 2014, 2015, I had a buddy who was applying for the ATC track, an off-the-street bid, so to speak, one that's just posted on usajobs.gov. And I was kind of in between the airline life and the ATC life and being home every day, kind of, and the retirement and all the benefits that come along with being a federal employee kind of led me in that direction. So I applied an off-the-street bid, and I've been in Tri-Cities ever since for the last 10 years. Still get the flight instructor part-time, and it's nice being home every day.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So this is a question for both of you, let's say each of you. If you could come alongside a new trainee, somebody who's been accepted into the program and is just starting out, what would you like them to know? What advice would you give? What look out for this message would you give?
Keep your head in the books. There's a lot of background stuff that you need to know before you even plug in and work traffic, and staying up to date on that. It's pretty easy to memorize something once, and there's a lot of maps, especially in the center, but even in the terminal side, there's tons of maps and frequencies and all kinds of things that you have to learn and memorize before you hit the floor, which is when you're going to be plugging in and training. It's easy to learn that stuff and then just memory dump it, but that stuff, it has some practical purpose, so just kind of keeping in the books continuously. And that's stuff that you're going to be doing off of your OJT time. That's like kind of on your own time, the stuff to keep up with.
Yes, I definitely agree with Ray, and I would also say find a controller that you trust, that you can lean on to help you through this process. This is an amazing, rewarding job, and we're so proud to be air traffic controllers, but to be able to have another controller that you can talk to get you through the hard times and the tough times is something that is advice that I give. I'm the facility representative, and I tell all the trainees, it may not be me, it may be someone else, but whoever you can talk to and have honest conversations with, it's going to help you get through the career. Don't shut yourself off and internalize.
Great, thanks for that. So just to recap, for people who are listening and interested and want to understand the process that they need to go through, where do you guide them, on the web or live on prem this week?
Yeah, FAA.gov has all the hiring information. We were just actually checking it before to make sure we're up to speed on exactly what's going on in the process, and that's a great resource for it. They also offer, one thing we didn't talk about yet, was enhanced CTI or Collegiate Training Initiative programs, and the FAA website will update which schools are doing that. And those students, if they complete those programs, they do bypass the FAA Academy and go directly to a facility. And I think
we're getting our next employee on Monday. This upcoming Monday is coming from an ECTI school. First one for me, so young kid.
Yeah, I was just at one of the larger universities who has that program, and they've got people lined up to enroll in that course.
Imagine. Yeah, yeah.
Just lined up. I have heard a rumor, maybe it's true, maybe not, but I have heard a rumor that you are hiring.
Yes, we are. We'll take you.
Yes, we do need people. Yeah.
That's good. What are the numbers around that? I mean, you talked about needing people. What are the, how many?
Well, I think we're typically about 3,800 controllers short when, with the collaborated numbers between the facilities. There was a work controller workforce plan that just came out that reduced those numbers, but I'm not sure on the math on that. But we currently have, I think, just under 11,000 certified professional controllers in the system.
3,800 then positions needing to be filled. I wonder how deep those lines are, Paul. You said that there's a lot pending.
I think those are pretty deep. And I mean, the other thing that we've heard this week is that not everybody that goes into Oklahoma City training is going to come out a controller.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you account for, you know, discontinued training and things like that, that makes that reaching that number has got to be a big effort.
Yeah, it can take anywhere from 1 to 3 years to certify, depending on the facility. Some of the towers are a little bit, you know, 6 to 9 months a year. And then Indy Center, our average training time is 2.6 years to get through all of the positions.
Yeah. We've been visiting with Rachel Gilmore, air traffic controller in Indianapolis, and Ray Castlewhite, working the facility in Tri-Cities, Tennessee. We appreciate NACA's support of this program and certainly appreciate everything you do for aviation. This is Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio.